Proverbs chapter number 16. The book of Proverbs chapter number 16. Look in verse number 25 real quick. Proverbs chapter number 16. Proverbs 16 and verse number 25. Let me get that verse with me real quick. It says this: there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Addiction, and I don't care which addiction that I just read to you, and there's other addictions, they all lead to death. That's what sin does. And I can't tell you how many people that are addicted every year in their own life because they feel hopeless, that they'll never be able to overcome. But the fact is this: people can have freedom. Now, we amen it on other services when I say that knowing the Lord, you can overcome any sin. And amen. So don't get hesitant in amening now. That is the truth. And if people, again, this program will not fix people. I will not fix people. You will not fix people. But the Lord, He can change anyone. And there's not one power, one sin, one addiction that the Lord and His Word cannot overcome. They just need to be taught the Word of God and a dependence upon the Lord. People can have freedom. Look over, use your Bibles real quick with me, in Galatians chapter 5. Look at Galatians chapter number 5 real quick. Galatians 5 and in verse number 1. Galatians 5 and verse number 1. It isn't like we don't have a lot going on. I get it. I don't think it will be meeting Thursdays at 6:30 is going to be too, you know, life-altering of a ministry for time's sake. But I do it because when we die, and we will, I want to know that we did our best to reach as many as we can. And I don't start ministries because someone else does, or else we'd have 10,000 ministries. I do it when the Lord lays upon my heart. And the Lord's really been stirring my heart in this. I'll be teaching this first year, but my goal is not to teach it next year. I hope someone will take this ministry, and they'll run with this ministry. I will teach a grief counseling ministry. I've already taught that. Some of you have been in it. We're going to have a different time for that, but we want to start that. And again, same thing. I hope someone else takes that ministry. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." So I learned a couple things from this verse, that Christ can give you liberty. Amen? Christ can set you free. That's what the Bible says. We preached on freedom this past Sunday. Whom the Son set free shall be free indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so the Word of God and the Lord Jesus can be set free. But I also learned from this verse that any of us can get entangled again with the yoke of bondage. There may be people in the auditorium right now that are addicted to something. And Christ can set you free. I know this, that there are people that come to church week after week in this church that have addiction issues. I know that. And I want to see them get victory. I've had people tell me in the last 10 years, "You don't understand. I can't quit. I can't stop." Fill in the blank, whatever the sin is they're speaking about or the addiction is. The fact is this: they can. You know, I've told some people that I've talked to, "Just wait, because I'm still studying. I want to have answers." You see, I hope you understand, just sharing my heart tonight. It may be one thing to sit in the pew and think, well, there might be some people, but in my seat, people come month after month and they share that they need help. And overcoming alcohol, maybe for some, overcoming, we mentioned cigarettes, Brother Tyler, I had no idea what I was speaking on tonight. Someone trying to quit smoking, it's tough. A food addiction, it's difficult. Overcoming pornography is a battle. any sort of drug addiction. The idea, well, I'm just going to come and ask God to forgive me and I'll never deal with it again. I'm not going to tell you that God won't do that. He can do anything. But the way our bodies are made, and there's always repercussion for sin. The principle of sowing and reaping applies to every area in life. And if you sow to these addictions for years, there's a reaping. Your body becomes accustomed to things. There's some places, and that's what else I've been contacting area places, sometimes there's medical assistance needed. And so we're doing our due diligence. But bondage can't happen to, listen, any one of us. So I'm doing great. I got my tie on. I'm in church on a Thursday night. That won't ever happen to me. Other people much better than you have said that in the past. And far better than me have said that in the past. It can happen to anyone. That's why in the same book in Galatians, Paul says, take heed, lest you fall. We better be careful there. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 as we're going to the left. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse number 12. 1 Corinthians 6 and in verse number 12. Notice what Paul says here. 1 Corinthians 6 and in verse number 12. It says this, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me. And he's talking about, different issues that we're going to deal with, be it marital issues and physical issues and food issues. It's what Corinthians is talking about. But look what he says at the end of verse number 12. Paul says, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So what is Paul saying? Well, as a Christian, I shouldn't be under the power and the control of someone or something else apart from the Lord. Now, if you want to get addicted to something, and I have Bible for this, it's good to get addicted to the ministry. There's people in the Bible that were. That's a blessing, right? But Paul said, I can't be it food, be it whatever it is, I cannot allow myself to be brought under the power of anything. Look back in the Old Testament in Isaiah. I like these verses. Look in Isaiah chapter number 58 real quick. Isaiah chapter number 58. Look at verse number 6 with me real quick. Isaiah 58 and in verse number 6. Should be a familiar verse this month, right? Isaiah 58 and verse number 6. The Lord says this through his prophet. It says, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness. You know what that means? That wickedness can put you in bands. Right? I mean, it's just a common sense statement, but a lot of times we just don't see it that way. But you can become in bondage to any sin. To undo the heavy burdens they will weigh upon you, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. That's what sin will do. And sin will hold people in bondage. Look over a few pages in Isaiah chapter 61 and in verse number 1. And the Lord would quote this verse in his earthly ministry and sharing what he was bringing in his ministry and through his followers. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. There's our calm ministry, our grief ministry. To proclaim liberty to the captives. There's our addiction ministry. And the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Now, I'm not going to go long on this, but obviously the Lord repeated this verse in the New Testament, which means to me that there are people who are brokenhearted, that are captive and in some sort of prison, bound by some sin, that the Lord came to give them deliverance. We have this book to give them deliverance. I can't change him, you can't change him, but God can. So what are we going to do? Well, most addicts that are out there probably aren't going to come to church Sunday morning, and they usually feel like they're not acceptable. They usually feel like they won't be comfortable. They usually, and some will, and praise the Lord for that, and have. But we want to try to reach people and say, what if they don't walk over to the service? That's okay for a little bit. Just want them to start hearing truth. There's no mind games. This program doesn't teach mind games. It's a purely biblical program. based on the book of Peter, which I'll show you at the close of the message. Again, we'll have it at 6:30, around 45 minutes. Why is it such a problem in our world today? Because Hebrews 11:25, there's pleasure in sin. It's for a season, but there's pleasure in sin. Down at Hope, in the time that we've been down there, there's been more than three that I could think of, more than three, that were saved, mostly ministering down there at Hope, that were addicts, hooked on things, and they died. They died. Because that's what sin does. It's a real issue. And this fact that sin is pleasurable for a season, it draws people in, but then what they don't understand is it holds them in bondage. And as the saying goes, which is just true, sin will always take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. And the Lord is the only one, as principle number one. Zach, what's principle number one again? Only the Lord can tell us how to make life work. That may sound like a simple principle. We established it a long time this year with the young people. Who's the creator of life? God is. He's the only one who knows how to make it work. How many of you would like to stand and say, well, I've got life completely figured out? Liar. But God does. And the secret to living life is to tap in on that knowledge that God has and He wants us to have. He doesn't want to keep us just wondering. He tells us in His Word how to have victory. And the goal of this program is to get the addict to look to the Word of God. Number one is to see them get saved. That's the first. But there will be some that are saved that are addicted. There will be. There's some large addiction ministries around us. Praise the Lord for them. I'm not infringing on that, and I want them to keep going where they're going. But I've contacted the Goshen Police Department. There's a serious issue right here in Goshen. They'll tell you all about it. They post every week their calls that they've gone on. Next time, find them on Facebook. You can just type in any Google search. Look at the Goshen Police Report from this last week and notice how many ones are addiction related. It's affected our church. We've lost loved ones due to addiction issues. Friends and family. Let's ask God tonight to give us a heart for this ministry. Let's ask God to stir our heart for this, that we might be used of the Lord to help meet and change someone's life. I just read you, didn't plan it, didn't know it was coming. I read you a letter from Mexico City. Did you notice all the ones that were reached through the addiction program that have been saved, baptized, and now are going soul winning? What a blessing to hear. And it can happen. It should happen. And the fact that we want to try to reach them as quickly as we can. We want to get the addicts saved. We want to get them to learn to know the Word of God. But the first hurdle that we're going to have to overcome is to get someone to believe that they can be free. Because most addicts don't believe they can. Most people who are addicted think they don't have any hope. That's the name of this program, right? They don't believe that they could ever really be set free from this. And even the world teaches that. Those that go to meetings like AA and stuff like that are taught once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. That's one of their foundational principles. And they teach that in saying you need this, whatever you want to call that, program to stay sober. I got news for you. A saved alcoholic can no longer be an alcoholic. The Lord will set you free. And whatever the addiction issue is, we have to get someone to believe that they can overcome. Make it personal. If you struggled in an area for some time, let the Lord use you in this ministry to help people. But we have to get them to believe that. It's taught in our world, in our country today, that people have a disease. Alcohol's a disease. Pornography's a disease. these weird addictions and drugs is a disease. It's not a disease. It's sin. They taught them that once you're an addict, you're always an addict. No, you're not. You're not. They teach them in programs that we're going to teach you to manage this, but you'll never be able to overcome it. I'm just reading you from textbooks. I ordered a textbook. I've been reading it from one of the... It's just a facility in our area that helps addicts. And in their writings, once someone is a addict, they'll always be an addict. I'm just quoting from these things. You can manage your addiction, but you'll never be able to overcome it. That's a lie. Without God, they're right. And that's why they write these things. Because without the Lord, you're right. They can only manage it. Without the Lord, they're always going to have that problem. But God says when we come to Him, we have new life. And old things are passed away, and God makes all things new. God said He wants us to have life and life more abundantly in John chapter 10. We learned this past Sunday morning. We looked at the scriptures. Whom the Son has set free shall be free indeed. Christ can set you free. Philippians chapter 4, I can do all things through Christ. That includes the bondage of sin. All victories can be made. Now, medically speaking, for any substance that's gotten in your body, it will take roughly, give or take a little bit, about 10 days to get that out of your body. Everything from some drug to alcohol to, ready for this, sugar. It will take 10 days roughly to get that out of your system. For some addictions, and some who've been addicted for a long time, it may need some medical help with it too. But the fact is this, the physical body adapts to these things and it's going to take some time. But I make that statement to point out a medical fact. It takes 10 days to get most of these, we'll call them chemicals, out of your body. So why do you still have a problem? Because the physical part of it is not really the biggest part. We have to help people to learn to think differently. To have a thinking process that changes. A drug addict can detox and get the drugs out of his system, but if they don't learn to think differently, most will go back to it. And here's where overdoses happen, and I don't even know the first thing about drugs to tell you how much they're taking, right? Praise the Lord for that, right? But what happens is this, when they take for a long time, their body needs more and more and more and more to get the same high. They'll quit and get off of it, but when they go back, they think they can still take what they were taking at the end of their addiction issue they previously had, and when they take it, they die. Because the body had built up to these things. Young people, drugs and alcohol will kill you. It'll kill you. Stay away from it. I preached a funeral less than a year ago of a guy that sat in our church. Sat my son in school class. Our class went to go help him out, get his back on his feet, help him clean, and get a place ready for him. Then he went back. I preached his funeral. We can help people like that. He said, well, he came to church. I know, and I'm not belittling that, but let's specifically help these people with their needs where they're at. Let's give them help. Let's show them the Word of God. In Proverbs chapter number 23, let me read this real quick. Bill Susie, you can throw it up there. Proverbs 23 and verse number 7, or if you beat me there, you can read it with me. Proverbs chapter 23 and in verse number 7 says this, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. As he thinketh in his heart. If a person thinks they're an addict, they'll always be an addict. If a person cannot learn to overcome wanting and the cravings by changing their thought process, they're always going to struggle. The main issue with addictions is an internal problem. It has to be, that's where the change has to take place. And the internal part of this, the Bible uses three words. Here's the three words the Bible uses to describe this inward thing that has to change. And the three words used interchangeably, sometimes together in the Bible, is this: the heart, the mind, and the soul. The heart, the mind, and the soul. Because how a person thinks determines their will. How a person thinks determines their will. If they think they're going to lose, then they're going to lose. If you got a pen or something, draw something for me. I probably should have wrote it out and put it on a board or something, but if you write it down, it'd be more effective probably, all right? The inner man is the heart, the soul, and the mind. And in the inner man, the heart is your thoughts. The soul is your feelings. The mind is your decisions. So, follow this with me, because this is what we have to change. And if you're struggling, this is where it starts, all right? We have to change the inner man. So the thoughts, the feelings, and the decisions. Because what we think about and how we think affects our feelings. And then the more we allow the feelings to take place in our life, it will affect our decision. Simple illustration. I haven't had one in months and months. But if I sit here and thought about a double cheeseburger at White Castle, and I thought about it, I know I shouldn't eat it, and I haven't in a very long time. And you know my former addiction to White Castle. All right, yeah, right. Used to be every birthday or something, I'd get $100 in White Castle gift certificates, right? And I used them in a week. But your thought, if you stop and think about it and I allow my mind to focus on that, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to start craving it. That feeling is going to start being in my life. I'm going to start walking around and I'm going to start thinking and craving it. My feelings will be enacted. And if I don't stop it, you know what I'm going to be doing pretty soon? Whipping through the drive-thru. And I will make a decision to get one. That's how the inward part works, so 1, 2, 3. But then here's how the outward works. After decisions lead to actions. Actions form habits. Habits create a lifestyle. So I'm going to repeat that. Your thoughts, your feelings, and your decisions is the inside. Once you've made a decision now, it's going to lead to actions on the outside. Your actions will lead to habits, if you want to call it addictions, and the habits will lead to a lifestyle where that's the way you are. You know what your lifestyle does? Ready for this? Your lifestyle affects the way you think. You know what your thoughts affect? Your feelings. You know what your feelings affect? You know what your decisions affect? You know what your actions affect? You know what your habits affect? You know what your lifestyle affects? The way you think? That's how addiction happens. And this cycle begins in people's lives where it controls them now. Because their lifestyle controls the way they think. The way they think creates these cravings in their life and how they feel. The feelings create these decisions. Well, I'm just going to do it. I'll just do it this one time. Their decisions lead to habits and actions. And actions lead to habits and habits to a lifestyle. And it doesn't end. And so while we can, you know, programs out there will get people not to drink for a month. Right? That's great. But if you don't change the inside, if you don't change the way they think, which controls their feelings, which controls their decisions, and that's heart, soul, and mind, we study that in the Word of God. We have to change how we think, so we'll change how we feel, so it changes what we do. And God gave us the power to do this. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Please turn there, because I'll build, you know, what's left of the message here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Look in verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 3. I'll give you a second. God tells us, again, how to correct this inward part of us. The heart, soul, and mind. Our thoughts, our feelings, our decisions. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 3. It says this: "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." In other words, it's not just an outside battle. It's not just a fleshly thing. What do we have to do in verse number 5? I'll give these to you real quick. Number 1, we have to, us, and help others. So number 1, cast down imaginations. Casting down imaginations. In other words, it's time to deal with this problem. And we know it is when the thought is first introduced in our mind, we have to cast it down. When the thought first comes, I'm using the silly illustration of the double cheeseburger at White Castle just to be silly, alright? When the thought first comes, man, maybe I see a White Castle sign or whatever, and my mind thinks of that double cheeseburger, I say, no. I mean, for many reasons, no, it tastes good. Hang on. But that's what all sin does, right? But how it affects, I have to stop and think, do I really want to go down that path? Do I really want to start doing this? Do I really want to end up in a point where I'm on medication again, where I'm, you know, can't get up and function at age 65 whenever my heart, I'm having, you know, all these issues and I have diabetes and all these things? I mean, for real, stop and think. I don't think it's a sin to have a double cheeseburger, right? Unless it controlled you for a while. And I'm not going to go into food right now, all right? But the fact is this, when the thought first happens, that's the time to deal with it. That's where you're going to get an effective attack, is when it first happens. And again, our weapons are not carnal. You know, in other words, what we're going to teach, we're not going to follow you around all day and be looking over your shoulder. Don't do that. Don't go there. All right? What we have to teach is learn to cast down imaginations. How do we do that? It all based upon the Word of God. Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 12. The Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And it says it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So what do we have to do is teach to allow people to take the Word of God and discern my thinking. Am I thinking straight here? And we have to teach them to stop and cast down. Imaginations are things that just aren't real. Right? That's what imagination is. Hey, this drug will be awesome. No, that's actually a lie. That's an imagination. Well, alcohol's great. No, actually, it's a cursed thing that leads to thousands of deaths every day. We have to allow the Word of God to discern our thoughts and then cast down and allow this to take these decisions to become easy. Because the more we think about sin, the more you're probably going to do it. And if I'm going to get victory, if you're going to get victory, the very first thing we have to do is learn to control our thinking. And the easiest place to defeat our lust and our addictions is when it first comes to your mind. Keep it, if you will, at the imagination stage and get rid of it. See, how does that work? Soon as the thought comes to mind, I reject this thinking. I am God's child. I don't have to think this way. I choose not to think this way. I will be victorious through the Lord Jesus Christ. And not allow the thinking to stay there. But number 2, the second step is this, casting down imagination. Look at the scripture again in verse number 5. Number 2, capture every thought. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing into captivity. Capture it. Say, how does that work? Here's how it works, all right? Here's how you capture this. Is that we have to teach people, and again, we'll go through all this in our program, but we have to teach people to find out what their triggers are. That's how you capture every thought. I don't want to think on these things, right? So what is it? And because there are things in our life that triggers wrong thoughts. There are things in our life, and sometimes we don't know what they are. If you're struggling with something, I encourage you, this may sound like, you know, but this is just a fact, right? Keep a notebook or somewhere where you can write something down or type it down. And every time, if you struggle, whatever the area is, right? Say alcohol, and I don't think anyone in this room has an alcohol problem, so I'll use that, all right? But let's say that's, you know, been an issue in your life, all right? And you keep finding yourself going back to it. Well, Every time did you have the thought, write down what's going on where you're at. What just was said. What people are going to find is sometimes there's a commercial on the television that keeps pushing it back. 10 minutes after a commercial, they're in the kitchen. Well, then learn to turn off every commercial. Or unplug the TV. Or you're driving down the road. Silly illustration back to it. If every time I drive by White Castle, the problem starts. I'm not addicted to White Castle, so it's okay, right? But the thought process starts, then find a different route. I've told my Sunday school class this many times. If I'm walking through Myers and I forget cheese, I don't have an issue taking a hard right from the aisle, buzzing right through there and picking up cheese and then going cashing out. On my left or right, they may have some alcohol. The stuff has no appeal to me. I've never tasted it. I hate the smell of it. I know what it does to people. There's nothing in me at all that it leans towards that. I was with a church member one time, and he was delivered from that. And we were actually at a basketball game at a college, or I forget where we were, somewhere. I don't know where we were. But we walked past a stand that had beer, and he said, "Can we leave?" And I he'd go somewhere else in this place. And I said, "Yeah, what's wrong?" He said, "I smell the beer. I got to leave." It's a trigger. Some people, they turn on the computer. There's a trigger. We have to capture every thought. We have to learn to be in charge of our thinking. And we have to learn to be able to control what's causing us to think that we are. For some people, it's an odor. For some people, it's a song. For some, it's certain people. For some, it's places. For some, it's lights. Advertisements. Electronics. Find the trigger. And remove the trigger. But we have to cast down imagination, capture every thought, and then number three, correct all of our thinking. It says this in verse number six, "And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." We want to learn now to think right. Cast down the imagination, capture every thought, and now we can choose what we think about. Look back in Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. Look how this works real quick. Romans chapter number 12. Verse number 1. Romans 12 and verse number 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And verse number 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by" what? "The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." Now, so we have to change the way we think. The renewing of our mind. Verse number 3. "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of" what? That's what? We always quote verse 1 and 2, but we need to finish the thought here in verse number 3. Alright? How do we renew our mind? God gives us grace and faith to renew our mind. In other words, God will enable us to do this, but we have to do it like everything else, by faith. How can someone learn to think right? Faith. That's why AA is not complete. I commend the people that are trying to help people. I'm not belittling any of that. This drug addiction house that's right down here on State Route 28, I'm thankful they're trying to help people. I have no problem with that. I'm great with that. But there's never going to be victory, true victory, without the changing of the mind, which can only happen by faith in God. And we as churches are sitting on our hands watching all this. We're not trying to help people. And there's many people that are struggling and saying, "I just can't," because they don't see themselves as God sees them. As someone who, yes, there's not righteous, but God can change their life and create a new man, which has a new nature and gives them a new way to think. Look at Philippians real quick in chapter number 4. Philippians 4. Look at verse number 6 in Philippians 4. Philippians 4, 6 says this, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by," what two things? "With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Now, what's going on in verse number 6? Pray. Right? Everybody with me? Prayer. Prayer should be supplication and thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. What happens when we can create a prayer life? And, verse 7, "The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your" what? "Hearts and..." That's that inward man. Everybody following me? When we can teach someone to, number one, have faith in God, number two, learn that God wants to help them and will hear them, and they learn how to talk to Him and listen to Him, then the peace of God comes and it changes their heart and mind. Amen? Verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, do what? Think on these things." We have to change the way the addict thinks. I can't change the way people think. There's no mind control. I can't brainwash people. There may be some people out there that has an art in that. I don't. But I can point people to how to have faith in God, how to have a walk with God, how to learn a dependence on God, supplications and thanksgiving, to see how great God is, which affects the way they think, which allows them to have peace. It protects their heart and their mind, and they're able to think on things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and a good report and virtue and praise. And it keeps them from thinking about the sin and the issue. And the addiction, it will give them victory. And God has given to every one of us, including the addict, the formula on how to have victory. And I close with this. We'll read it and pray. Look over in 2 Peter chapter number 1. I told you we'd get here, and this is where next time I'll speak on this topic, we'll look at this. 2 Peter chapter number 1. God gives us the formula here. This is what we'll teach. This is what we'll eventually get to. We got to teach faith. We got to teach prayer. We'll teach these things to help the way we think and understanding what's going on. And then we want to get to a point to where we can give them the formula for overcoming. And it's found here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4. It says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these next things we're going to mention, that by these ye might be partakers of" what? "The divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through" what? Are you following the verse? God says, by these things that I'm about to give you, we can be a partaker of the divine nature of God. How many people living with the divine nature of God and being ruled by the divine nature of God is addicted to sin? Zero. Zero. It says, by these things, it allows us to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lust is what? A desire. A longing. Can I use the word? Addiction. Addiction is corrupting. It destroys. So what is the formula? What is it that we have to allow and teach and put in our lives? Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your what? Faith. It starts with what? Faith. That's what we already talked about. Faith in God. That's the renewing of your mind. It starts with faith. And then add to your faith what? Virtue. Add to your virtue. Add into knowledge. It's a great word here. And to temperance what? And to patience what? And to godliness what? And to brotherly kindness what? For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. These eight things that I just read is what verse 4 is talking about. By these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. So we bring someone to where they want this. And if we can help people get faith and add to that faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity, they will escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Praise the Lord. So next time we'll look at these eight things. What's it talking about with these eight things? And we'll study these things and how that would be powerful. Let's